To Chorev Zman, this is the first shiur for Chan. We are trying to keep our pace of one amud per week. So even though there's a lot more we could be saying about Ksuvos Daf Gimel, we are on Ksuvos Daf Dalet. The truth of the matter is that as I say that, I recognize that I will be talking about some of the Dalet Amud Aleph issues next week as well, because it's really one long sugya. Like the sugya doesn't care about where the Vilna Shas cuts off an amud. So that's just the way it goes. But our discussion is going to be about one of those dapim that really supports the identity of Ksuvos as Shas Katan, in the sense that it takes us into Ksuvos, but it also takes us into, unfortunately, Inyane Avelos. And it look, like you look at it and think this is Moed Katan or something else. So we get these tangents that open up areas of halacha that are far from the core sugya. So what I want to do is talk about the Gemara that starts at the very bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, goes over onto Dalet Amud Aleph, which talks about what happens in the terrible case in which Rachmana Litzlan, the chazan or the kala, loses a parent right before the wedding is supposed to take place. So if you take a look in source Aleph on your sheet, I brought you from the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about what day of the week people get married. And we know it's supposed to be Wednesday night for a basula, for reasons we've spent a lot of time on. And the Gemara says, Ubasheni lo yichnos. The wedding should not be on Monday. V'imachmas ha'ones mutter. However, if there's an ones, then you're allowed to. What do they do? Mafrishin es hachasin min hakala leli Shabbos tchilab neshoz hachabura. That's a separate discussion, which actually we're going to come back to probably next week, but I'm not going to discuss right now. It comes up eventually in the Gemara about having initial relations on Friday night, not our discussion right now. But then the Gemara asks, my sakana. What do you mean when you say sakana? Now, of course, we didn't say sakana. We said ones. So going along further in the Gemara, the part that's relevant for us, my machmas ha'ones. What do you mean when you say ones could cause them to marry on Monday? Kidisanya, the following brisa. The bread was already baked for the wedding meal. The animals had already been shechted. The wine is already diluted. And the chasen's father passes away, or the kala's mother passes away. You bring the body into a room. You bring the chasen and kala into the chuppah, meaning they have their wedding. Uboel be'ilas mitzvah, uporesh. He lives with her. They have an act of bia that we call here be'ilas mitzvah. We're going to have to come back to that term. They separate. V'noeg shivas yimei amishta. They have the week that we call Sheva Brachos week, even though it's not the same thing, but that's what we're pretending it is right now. The Gemara later on in the Perek will distinguish between Sheva Brachos and the 7 days of Mishta. V'achakach noeg shivas yimei avelus, then the 7 days of Sheva. They sleep apart among each one with the men with the women for that week. I thought I might get to that, but we're not going to get to that. The issue of jewelry for the kala during the 30 days after the death, we're not going to get to that discussion. And then they go on to say it's specifically the chasan's father, the kala's mother, because they are the ones who are very involved in wedding preparations, at least in the world that that the Gemara occupied. So we have them get married. We have them do this thing we call Be'ilas Mitzvah. And then they separate and go through what they go through. And the three questions I want to address are, what is Be'ilas Mitzvah? That's number one. What do you mean when you say Be'ilas Mitzvah? What are you referring to? Number two, when it says they have Be'ilas Mitzvah, is that a chiyuv? Is that a requirement? Are they obligated to have Be'ilas Mitzvah? Are you saying they must do that? And if so, whose chiyuv is this and why? And then third, assuming that they are allowed to have, assuming it says they are allowed to have Bia, why does it say uporesh, that they have to separate from each other? Are they in fact forbidden to each other after the initial act of Be'ilas Mitzvah? is that they're poresh. I mean, if you saw the Gemara and you saw Tosfos, you already know different possibilities. Is that they are poresh because one bia is allowed, and then that's it? Is it that they're poresh because now she had blood from the basulim, and therefore she's viewed like Anida, and that's why they have to be poresh? Is it something else entirely? What is going on with that? If we can get through all three of those questions today, I will be ecstatic. I suspect some of this is going to bleed into next week, no pun intended. But we'll see. Sorry, that wasn't on purpose. It just happens. But let's talk about Be'ilas Mitzvah. What exactly that means when we talk about Be'ilas Mitzvah. So the Gemara further along in the Masechta is going to inform us that we view this initial act of sexual relations, this first bia, as a mitzvah. And a Gemara really is just echoing something from the second parak in Brachos. Take a look, please, at source Beis. Brought you one line from Ksuvos Vavamid Beis, which is, again, it's a Mishnah from the second parak in Brachos, where we're told, Chasan Pater Mikriya Shema Laila Rishon Ad Motzei Shabbos Im Lo Asa Maisa. That the Chasan is exempt from the mitzvah of Kriya Shema the night after the wedding, as well as through the week until Motzei Shabbos, assuming they haven't yet had initial relations. And that's the discussion there of, the discussion in Ksuvos that it comes up with is the question of, do we assume they're having Bia on Shabbos or not? When you say they're exempt until Motzei Shabbos, does that mean that they could have had Bia Friday night? The discussion in Brachos is, of course, the question of exemption from Shema. Because you are Osek B'mitzvah, you are involved in a mitzvah, and there's Tirda the mitzvah and all of that. But the point for us is, you are identifying that first act of Bia as Bias Mitzvah. But again, the question is, what mitzvah are you talking about? So hopefully everybody saw the Maror Makomos, and therefore you already know where I'm planning on going with this. We are going to have three different ways that you could view this act as a mitzvah, taking it in entirely different directions. The first approach is the simplest approach, right? Anyone who did not see the Maror Makomos, if you saw the Maror Makomos, I'm not interested in you hijacking my shiur. I gave you the Maror Makomos, that was good enough. But if you didn't see the Maror Makomos, tell me, what mitzvah could this possibly be? Everyone saw the Maror Makomos, so that's why they can't answer. So the first approach, the most logical approach is that it's Pru Revu. The mitzvah is Pru Revu, procreation, and that's what the Rambam says. Right? If you don't know, just default to the Rambam. Take a look at Source Gimel. The Rambam writes in his comment to that Mishnah in Brachos, Aval nasa almana chaya b'kriya shema. He says, you marry a besula, you're exempt. You marry an almana, you're not. Sha'avo pishu osik. You know what? That's really funny. I brought the wrong line. I didn't even look. I cut and pasted the wrong line from that Perish of Mishnayos. Okay. What you want is the part that's right after that in the Perish of Mishnayos to the Mishnah in Brachos. I'll have to update my sheet. But where he says, in fact, that the mitzvah we're talking about is Pru Revu. That's the Rambam's statement in his Perish to the Mishnah. He says it is Pru Revu. Okay, that's one approach. And some argue that this is what Tosfos is saying in our sugya as well. Tosfos has this very vague comment. If you take a look at source Dalet, which is the right Tosfos, Be'ilas Mitzvah, he says, Kari la Be'ilas Mitzvah, the Gemara calls it Be'ilas Mitzvah, meaning that is a mitzvah, Mishum dechsiv ki bo'alayich osayich, because he quotes you a pasuk from Yeshaya, Bo'alayich osayich, your bo'el, the one who lives with you, he is the one who forms you. There it's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'amrinan, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Ein isha koreses bris el misha osa kli. The Gemara here is referring to the idea that a woman who has her besulim still, so that passage through which she can ultimately become pregnant, is closed. It's what you call in the Mishnayos in Kalim, like a golem. A golem is not somebody who the Maharal of Prague created. That's not what the word golem means. A golem is a reference to a block that is going to be formed into a clay kibul, that is going to become a receptacle.
We usually say raw.
Raw?
Raw. R-A-W.
R-A-W. So it can be, but that's sort of taking it beyond its original meaning. The original meaning of the term golem
was right.
No, but the original meaning of the term golem was something that was a sealed up thing. It's just a block, And then you're going to make it a receptacle by hollowing it out. That's the core idea of Golem. So the, what's happening here is the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, when this woman has relations and now the Basulim are gone, so now she is, able to receive, to be fertilized, to become pregnant. And so he is making her into a Kli. That's what the Gemara says. And the Gemara says she will have a special bris with that man who makes her into a Kli. And so they are going to attach to each other, and it will lead to puruvu, it will lead to procreation. And so this initial act is bi'ilas mitzvah because it concretizes the attachment and it leads to procreation. That's the statement that Tosfos makes, and the Pnei Yoshua doubles down on this. The Pnei Yoshua makes a comment, which I brought you in source Hay. And he says, in context, he's discussing the issue of Bia Friday night and the possibility of Hataya, a form of Bia in which he does not break the Basulim, but instead he circumnavigates the Basulim. How that can be done, how that can actually happen, is an interesting discussion for another time. But the point is, he says, in the event that they have Bia and he doesn't break the Basulim, then the result is that it's not Be'ilas Mitzvah. Because it's really about this idea, like Tosfo says, of making a kli, and therefore it's and therefore this isn't an act of making a kli, and therefore it's not be'ilas mitzvah. But the first approach is be'ilas mitzvah means the act of relations which lead to pru uravu. Even though you have a classic medrash that says that normally bia rishona cannot lead to children. Okay, but you need a Bia Rishona in order for there to be a Bia Shnia. That has to happen at some point, so it's going down that road. Yes, AZ.
If it's going down that road, so we'll just call that a Hashem Mitzvah or something.
Yeah, something like that. Who?
We saw someone using the language of Hashem Mitzvah.
Yes. No, it is used, yes.
The other thing is also, if you want to limit this, she's becoming a Kli now, would you really call that for Ruda? You call that something else altogether?
It's something that will ultimately enable Puruvu. It's not he's not picking up on making the Kli as much as making the Kli leads her to be Kores Bris with him, and therefore it will lead to Puruvu. It's not that you're making the Kli and that's the Puruvu. The Aruch Lener has this as his Havamina as well. The Aruch Lener is discussing a different question. We have a principle, Osek b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah. You're involved in a mitzvah, so you're exempt from another mitzvah which would have taken you away from the first one. So which we'll actually come back to a little bit later on in the shiur, I hope. But he wants to know, if I'm involved in a mitzvah derabanan, am I pater from a mitzvah deoraisa? On the one hand, it's only a derabanan. How could that take me away from the deoraisa? Of course the deoraisa should be what I do. On the other hand, you could argue no, because all derabanans are quasi deoraisas. Lo sasur, the Torah says, do not stray, right? Like we say by Ner Chanukah, we say, Asher Gisham Zasabat Sivanu, where did Hashem command us to light Ner Chanukah? Lo sasur. Whole discussion, is a derabanan then really a deoraisa? Not a deoraisa, the mabit, and so on, not for our discussion right now. But the Aruch Lener wants to know, Sanu, does a mitzvah derabanan count for osik b'mitzvah, pater mena mitzvah? And he brings certain examples, and he brings our discussion. He says in the second paragraph in source Vav, v'lechora hayaniru li lahochiach kein mimad de'amrinan stamet de koneses ha-besula pater shenikra osik b'mitzvah. He says, after all, you say that the man who marries the besula is exempt from shema because of this bia, he's osik b'mitzvah. V'harei asikas mitzvah hu shabai de zeli de mitzvahs peri v'rivya. It's because it causes peruravu. That's his argument. He says, like Tosfo says. So he believes that this is, at least in his Havamina, he believes that this is about pru uravu, although we're going to see him back off from it, and we are, in fact, are going to see two other ways to explain Tosos before we're done. That's the idea. What's the major weakness in saying that Be'ilas Mitzvah is pru uravu? The major weakness, just logically, in this. How do you know that this can't be pru? Well, every bila is pru uravu. That's one. That's one argument. True. Well, we're talking about his chiyuv in shema, not hers. Yeah.
They don't. The pregnancy doesn't happen on the first bila.
Right. So that goes back to the point that this is only enabling something down the line. So you're jumping to what we're going to talk about later. Does it make the marriage? Right now, we're assuming it does not make the marriage.
The nature of Purugu is only for a married couple, but they're not legally yet a whole married couple.
But they are a married couple.
But maybe this be a woman.
So, like I said, that's where we're going to go eventually, but we're not there at this stage. At this stage, we think that they're a fully married couple. We think that at this point, if a man comes along and lives with her, it's ish ish ish. The fact that the Gemara doesn't distinguish between whether she is a Basula, I'm sorry, whether he has, forget Basula Amana, but whether he has had, no, it's not about her, it's about him, whether he has had children before or not. It doesn't say, Bol Be'ilas Mitzvah, if he has not yet fulfilled Puravu. How in the world can you tell me this is Puravu? I don't even understand where that begins. Yeah, so maybe it's Loso Barah, and that's one of the arguments that's brought, because actually I jumped the gun on the Aruch Lener. I stopped short when he said it was Pir Yevarivya. I didn't give you his conclusion, which is, and it's only Derabanan, because it even applies in the event that he hasn't actual, that he has already, it applies even if he has had fulfilled, he has already fulfilled Puravu, therefore I didn't actually close the circle on the Aruch Lener. But yes. Nonetheless, it's very hard to say that this is Puravu. They also point out it doesn't distinguish between whether she's capable of having children or not. What if he marries a woman who's already no longer, we're on the Parshios in the beginning of Bereshis where there's no such thing as an age limit. Nonetheless, you would assume if she's an islandess or whatever it is, there's no Puravu element that's going on, and yet you're calling it Be'ilas Mitzvah. Daniel. You take it, right, so islandess would be the case. Yeah. Yeah. So this...
Pardon? It doesn't talk about somebody who's not, 9 years old?
Right, we have the case where they're very young. I mean, granted, the Gemara says they're not supposed to be getting married at that age.
That's a different story.
The Gemara does not, the Gemara says usher until she's 12, with ripe old age of 12.
Yeah, but
right.
That's a possibility.
Right, it is a possibility.
Shouldn't do it, but...
But it's valid if they do it.
Yeah?
Correct. Yeah?
The question I just hadn't understood why Puruvu would have been the driving force for it anyway, if we're assuming that this has to be equitable. Meaning, if for the man who loses his father, so we understand that he needs to go, he needs a Puruvu sooner rather than later, fine. For the woman who loses her mother, she's not driving Puruvu anyway, so why would it be his obligation to Puruvu that renders her able to get married earlier?
Right, so if Stephen asks, if she doesn't have the obligation, right, and yet we're saying that they should engage in Be'ilas Mitzvah,
right.
How does that get squared? It's an interesting question also. It's an interesting question. I think you can make the argument still, but I hear you. So the second school of thought is seen in the Aruch Lener's Maskana, and in other sources we're about to see. It's really the Achronim who bring this as an answer. And that is, it's a mitzvah of ona. There's a mitzvah of ona. The Torah says, "Sheirak susava onasa lo yigra." A man marries, in that case, it's talking about taking on another woman into the relationship, and he's not allowed to reduce she'er and ksus, which we understand to be clothing and food, as well as ona. Ona, being marital relations, he has an obligation to be with his wife. What that obligation is, you can look in the Mishnayos and in the Gemara and Ksuvos, a nice long discussion about that issue. But that's what this is. It's a mitzvah of ona. If you look in the Aruch Lener, in the last line of what I quoted here in source Vav, Aval yesh l'hashiv demizeh ein raya, don't bring any proof regarding oseg b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah, and pruervu. Why? Because mishikvar kansa vada yesh b'be'ila rishona chiyuv mitzvah da'oraisa machmas mitzvahs ona. He says, you married her, now you have the obligation of ona. That's the... That's what this is. That's true also. So you're saying it's always going to be Be'ilas Mitzvah.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back to that in a moment. I just want to show you first that Tzlach says this as well. The Tzlach on that Gemara in Brachos, where they say the Chasan is Pater from Kriya Shema, he says as well, it jumped to where I bolded, V'ulai kevin shikvar nasa osa b'chupa chayav hu l'kaye mitzvahs ona. Now, Rav Yehuda asks, but that should always be true. Is he always exempt from Kriya Shema because of the mitzvah of Ona? And so he goes on to say, "Ubi ila rishona tarud tirda the mitzvah zu shel Ona." There's also the element of tirda that comes with this. So the it's Ona plus Tirda that's going to exempt him from Kriya Shema. But in Echanami, all acts of Bia that fulfill Ona are mitzvah. That is correct. Of Tirda? I mean, the Gemara does. He's not inventing it. Yeah, it's just that he mentions it. But even stronger, Rav Moshe Feinstein calls this super Ona. The not just Ona, but super Ona. He brings in the No Debi Yehuda, the No Debi Yehuda, who I hope some of you saw. Sorry?
Yeah.
Kufayin Aleph. They says that Ona is greater than Bia Rishona, because he says Ona is a Chiyuv, and Bia Rishona is just Bia's Mitzvah. That's the position of the No Debi Yehuda. And Rav Moshe disagrees. And Rav Moshe writes, if you see where I bolded, it's after he quotes the No Debi Yehuda. He says, "Lefiani is daiti lo nachon klal dehu chova hayoser gedola mechiyuv ona shabatara velab de lo yigra deha ein lecha mishtokekes yoser labala takef achara chupa." He says no. He says this is super ona. This is greater than the normal mitzvah of ona, because Rav Moshe argues the mitzvah of ona is fundamentally a mitzvah bein adam lachavero. It is a social mitzvah. It is, she has a need, the same way that you provide her with food because she has a need for food, you provide her with clothing, she has a need for clothing, she has a need for her husband in this way as well. You can trace this back to Ve'leishech Teshukaseich if you like. There's a Torah Tmima there in Paragimel and Bereishis that talks about that. He says, her strongest desire for her husband is right after they just got married, right after the chuppah. And so he says, this is a greater chiyuv. He goes on to say in the next part that I bolded, v'ikar chiyuv ona hu kishe mishtokeket labala. The chiyuv is really when she wants the husband. And therefore he goes on to say, v'lachim baru pashut shabir rishona sh'achar achupa hu chiyuv u'mitzvahs ona hayoser gedola. V'atosvos nas nutam amashakorin rak lebe'ila rishona be'ilas mitzvah yosem mishar bios mechuyavos mitzvah da'ona dehu bishvil she'ika od ona levad chiyuv mitzvahs ona. He says, that's why Tosvos waxes poetic, right? When Tosvos wants to explain why this is be'ilas mitzvah, why didn't he just say it's because of ona? He says, I'll tell you why. Because Tosvos wants to explain why this is even greater than ona. This is an even stronger connection. And that's that's what Tosvos was trying to express with his poetic language about them forming a relationship with each other. Not about enabling Peruvu, but rather about establishing a greater chiyuv for his relations with her. Bless you. Yes.
But wasn't it another Yehuda himself that brought the writer that brought the case of the Yosef Derech, and that
yes.
In that sense, it's not gonna he can do it even though he might get revested very close to it.
Yes.
But in this bill, if he ends up very close, he was mocking, and he said, even though this is Ona and this is Ona, it's not the same case.
Correct. That's and he argues against that No Debi Yehuda. He doesn't accept what the No Debi Yehuda says.
Oh, yeah,
the
No Debi Yehuda.
Yeah. No, he's disagreeing. The No Debi Yehuda says that in Echanami, he says that being poked ishto close to the Vesses is not justified.
Yeah.
Sorry?
In other words, it's not a super.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. That's exactly right.
Well,
that's exactly
right. He's not even convinced that it is Ona, right? Doesn't he? He said, I don't know that Gemara well, but he's not even convinced that poked
no, I think yeah. He so that's his. That's his statement.
According to Rav Feinstein, it's a chiyuv here?
According to Rav Feinstein, it is a chiyuv here. Yeah. 100%. There's also Nayela Sashachar and Ksuvas Vav Mudbeis, Chasen Pacho, but he doesn't really break new ground. He talks through the same fact, the fact that we don't restrict Bilas Mitzvah to the case where she's not an islandist, where she can have children, and therefore can't be Puruvu. He walks you through this also. So that's our second approach. First approach, Bilas Mitzvah is Puruvu. Second approach, Bilas Mitzvah is Ona. Third approach of the three, and this is where Idan was trying to go before, is what the Shita Mekubetzes brings in, the idea that you are actually completing the Nisuin with this act of Bia. Take a look at the Shita Mekubetzes in Source Tes. He quotes you Rashi. Rashi's Al-Kasav is Al-Lashona U-Poresh, that they have to, after Bia, they separate. V'yikbu es hameis, they bury the deceased. Miyad, they came into chalav chatuna, havi legabe kuregel, because once they have the wedding, now it's like a regel, we're going to come back to that. V'lo asya avelus v'chayel v'noeg zayin yimei mishta. So avelus doesn't come in, and instead you have the 7 days for Sheva Brachos, and then afterwards they have Sheva. Perush l'perusho. So Yeshita Mekubetzes explains Rashi for us. De'akarchach tsarich livol be'ilas mitzvah. He says, you have to have bia now. This goes back to the other question that I mentioned, or one of the other questions that I mentioned in the beginning. Is it a chiyuv to have bia? He says, yes, it is. It's not like they could say, you know, you could easily imagine a case like this where they just say to each other, yeah, I know the Gemara licenses us to have bia, but really, this isn't the time, and we're just going to wait. He says, no, tzarech livol bilas mitzvah. When it says uboel, that's a prescription. Because that's what creates the wedding. And that's what triggers the beginning of the week of Sheva Brachos. Just by having chuppah isn't enough to trigger the Shivas Yemei HaMishteh. Such that you'll push off Avelus. Therefore you require that they have bia. Ve'od, and further he says, de'imata omer de lo matzi livol, if you're going to tell me that they don't have bia, ehoka kishemachnisin esachasin vesakal lochupa lo matzinen liyachadinhu, da'karachachu yashin ben anashim v'hi yashin ben anashim, v'chupa ki agavna lav shema chupa ledas kama rabbasi. He says, I have news for you. If you're going to tell me they're not going to have bia, and now they have to be apart from each other, that means it was a chuppah that wasn't royal bia. It was a chuppah that couldn't actually lead to bia, and that is not a valid chuppah according to the Rambam and others. So he says, no, it can't be. This is absolutely necessary. That's the position of the Shita Mekubetzes. Yes, Rabbi Zvi. So you'd have to have somebody hang out in the room. You'd have to keep them separate. If they're not having bia and they haven't started regel, then now they have to be separate from each other.
That I understand. It seems to be in the Shita Mekubetzes, you have chuppah and you have the bia, which are completely two different things altogether. The whole, I think, in my, like, from what I remember, this, the whole idea of the yichurim was to enable a reality where they could be together, even if that doesn't happen.
So that may be an explanation. That's a whole shir, what exactly yichud is. What is chuppah and what is yichud?
But it seems he doesn't mention it, it doesn't address this at all. So I'm assuming he, in his mind that either something that's not part of his reality or something that... It doesn't matter if it's not bia.
It's an interesting question. I don't want to get sidetracked on it, but it's an interesting question.
What happens to all this if it's a chuppas nida?
So that's why there are people who avoid chuppas nida, right? That's why Lubavitch sends out the wedding invitations, you know, a week or two before, because they want to know that it's not going to be a chuppas nida. Also because they tend to take a long time getting around to things. But the sorry? Lubavitch does that, no? I believe so. They send it out closer too because they want to avoid a chuppas nida situation because they want to satisfy the Rambam. Yeah. So what does completing nisuin mean? When you say that this completes the nisuin, why in the world should bia be what creates nisuin? The drisha says no, it doesn't. If you take a look at source yud, he says the following. The Kaven Shechala Alav Chuppah Havalei Day Kiregel. He's commenting on the tour on this. Lefima Shekasabti LeKaman BeSimin Shin Samach Aleph LeEvano Ezer Simin Samach Hey. VeVeisi Raya LeShona Gemar VaMordechai UMishara Poskim DeMashem Mechasin Rosh Hakala BeShachris Mikri Chuppah. He says, you want to know what is Chuppah? The Drisha says it's when they cover the head of the Kala that morning. What he's talking about is a great discussion. It's not for us right now. Does he mean the Badekin? Does he mean something else? But the point is, it's already happening that morning. That's what he believes. And so he says, Nero li gamken lismo hazeh dim yera chalila avelus l'chasen ol kala achar shekisu rosh hakala de'ein tzrichem livsok sheves yimei hamishta. He says, therefore, since that counts as chuppah, even if they didn't have what we consider chuppah, but they became avelim right after that, nonetheless, they get the sheves yimei hamishta first. They are already done. They don't need to have had bia, certainly, in order to trigger sheves yimei hamishta. He believes chuppah already happened earlier that morning, and then he has a longer discussion about this. But he certainly does not believe that it begins from bia. It begins from chuppah, whatever you believe constitutes chuppah.
There was a case in Israel, I think 2 years ago, we saw that, that he was a father of the bride. He was very, very, very sick, and he passed away because of COVID like 20 minutes after the reception started.
Wow.
Already. So what they did then, they had the chuppah, and then everyone was home.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I mean, that's a father of the kallah.
That's a father of the kallah.
Interesting. So the what is this about? Why should Bia create Nisuin? So I wanted to use an idea which Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky develops in Emeth Liakov. He develops it in part Emeth Liakov on Chumash, but more in Emeth Liakov on Ksuvos. And it also ties into something that we said when we learned Kiddushin in the Beis Medrash several years ago. It connects to that as well. If you take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Zayin Amud Beis, it's Soros Yad Aleph, Tana Rabbanan, dealing with Eishes Ish for non-Jews. So the Torah says Ish Ish, etc. The Ish Matam Alamar Ish Ish. When the Torah gives me the prohibition against living with someone else's wife, the why does it say Ish twice? Larabos is hakutim, by which he means non-Jews, to include people who are not Jewish. Shemuzharin al ha'arayos ki Yisrael. They are subject to these laws as well. Dot, dot, dot. Amar of Nachum bar Yitzchak, my eshes ish tekatani. What is eshes ish? A married woman in, you know, for the non-Jew. Kigon shenichnas al ha'chupa v'lo nivala. Dilididhu les lehu, danin lehu, bedina didan. The point is that in the event that a Jew gets married, you have a Jewish marriage, they had chuppah, they did not have bia yet. He says, for the Jews, they are considered married. In a non-Jewish relationship, they're not considered married until they have relations. And the iser, eshes ish, will nonetheless apply for them. So if a non-Jewish man goes and lives with this Jewish woman, who was after chuppah, but before bia rishona, that's a violation of eshes ish. You follow? Is that clear? Not clear? Let me say it again. There's a wedding. Okay? Reuven and Sarah are getting married. Reuven and Sarah go to the chuppah. They have a complete chuppah. It's on video. Everybody knows it happened. They did not have Bia Rishona yet. Then, somebody, what was, Rav Jared's one? Christopher Christensen was his guy. So, he comes in and carries her away, and has Bia with her, then we want to bring him to Beis Din and say, you lived with an Eishes Ish. He says, no, I didn't. In my rules, she's not an Eishes Ish, not until Bia Rishona. And we say to him, too bad, since the Torah says, Ish, Ish, in order to include somebody who is not Jewish, they're subject to this rule that as far as Eishes Ish of a married Jewish woman is concerned, we follow our rules, that chuppah made her an eshes ish already. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So, Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak there, in that Gemara, says that bia is what makes marriage for Bnei Noach. Right? For Bnei Noach, it's bia. It's only for us that chuppah is required. And as the Emeth Liakov notes, that was true for all of us before Matan Torah. Right? The Rambam's classic rendition of what the Torah did to change the way we get married. Before Matan Torah, it was Bia. Post Matan Torah, we have this whole other, thing that we do that creates the wedding industry. So, the Emes Liakov suggests that Matan Torah introduces Kiddushin for us, but Bia maybe remains as Nisuin for us. Just like Nisuin was cemented with Bia for us before the Torah was given, it retains that status. If you take a look at Soros Yud Beis, he says, "Hanisuin be'emes hein habeila, ukmo kodem matan Torah shayadin eshes ish aleha rak achar habia, ucha amram zal beulas bal yesh lahem, kmo kein beYisrael hanisuin hein be'emes habia." Just like what I just said to you, we retained this idea that you're not fully married until Bia Rishona. And he says, Kol Shekein L'Das HaRambam, certainly with the Rambam's view, Deina Chuppah, Meina Ru'uya L'Bia. To be Chuppah, you have to be eligible for Bia. Without that, it's not a valid Chuppah. He says, all of that is where this goes back to that original idea. And he says, even Tosfos could accept that concept. And he points out something fascinating. We use the term in the Gemara, Be'ilas Mitzvah. instead of what would I would have thought would be the normal title, which is Bias Mitzvah. What is Be'ilas Mitzvah? So take a look at what he does here. Ve'ulai, the second paragraph in Yud Beis. Ve'ulai degama tosus nachsu lezeh. This could be tosus as well. Why did Tosus use a pasuk of Ba'alayach Osayach then? Why didn't he just say Ki Yikach? Right? Why did he say Ba'alayach Osayach? Hayinu shedeitiku masha amu razal bi'ilas mitzvah v'lo bi'as mitzvah. He's doing it because of the Gemara's language. Shari baropa mishtam shu razal b'shem bi'a, lo l'shem bi'ila. Bi'a is the normal title, not bi'ila. Ulaficha chutzuchu l'tarei zeba mashakasav kra Ba'alayach Osayach. So he needed the pasuk in Yeshaya. And he says, this is linked to a separate machlokes. The Rambam says, chuppah has to be suitable to lead to bia, otherwise it doesn't work. He says, the idea is that bia makes him a baal. That's really what's going on. Bia generates baal status. So that's what's going on here, according to the Rambam. Mashenkin, a Tosus desfirule chuppa hiaknisa labayis, habia enamosefes balu. So Tosus doesn't believe in that. That's the Rambam's idea. So therefore he needs the pasuk of Ba'alayach Osayach. I don't want to get too far into the weeds, so to speak, in this Emes Liyakov and what he's doing here.
Bia
is a term that we use for Tashmish.
I understand that. I'm saying, is his play on, is he trying to make a play on word for Tosos in particular? Rambam says Bila is about the Bila itself. For Tosos, it's a Chuppah, and therefore it's about Bia Lavo, and not actually about Bia Mitzvah.
But I think he was trying to say that according to the Rambam, especially, Bila means now he is a Baal. Whereas according to Tosfos, Be'ila has to be shown to be linked with the Pasuk in Yeshaya, with Ba'alayach Osayach, because he doesn't believe that Be'ila makes you a Baal. So Tosfos needs to come up with something else. I think that's what he's saying. Yes, correct. Whatever that mitzvah is, because I don't know what the mitzvah of Nisuin is. Yeah, I know. I wrote that into my notes also. I knew that was coming. What is the mitzvah of Nisuin? When you say Be'ilas mitzvah because it completes the Nisuin, well, what was the mitzvah of Nisuin? Well, maybe Nisuin was Puru Revu. We did share on this when we learned Kiddushin years ago.
Well, another thing I'm missing here, it has no period.
We're getting there. We're getting there. It's a good question, we're just not there yet. But Emes Liyakov says to be careful on this. He says, not that the term mitzvah makes it a chiyuv. It's only that it's a mitzvah compared to rishus. He points out that we have other cases in the Gemara where we will call something mitzvah compared to something else that is rishus, but not to the level of chova. He points it out regarding hadlakas neros, is one case, and then he brings what I showed you here in Yud Gimel. He talks about washing your hands, where we say Mayim Rishonim is mitzvah, Mayim Achronim is chova. And then the Gemara asks, wait a minute, we have a separate source that says Mayim Rishonim v'Achronim chova, and Emtzaiim are Rishus. So the answer is mitzvah compared to Rishus is called chova. His point being, just the fact that you call it mitzvah does not actually mean it's an obligation. It just means it's not rishus. And he says that could be true regarding bia, and he gives you a very interesting taxonomy in the rest of Source Yud Gimel. I'm going to say it outside, but you have it here on the page. He says regular bia is rishus in the course of marriage in general. Regular bia. Ona, he says, is chiyuv. That's his obligation. And bia rishona is mitzvah. And he argues, Rav Moshe would not be a fan of this idea, but he argues that it's not ona because there's tsar for her in Bia Rishona. Rav Moshe said, yeah, but she's mishtokik. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, no, there is tsar for her. So he says, it's not ona, but it's not rishus either, so it's in this in-between category. It's mitzvah. That's the way that he looks at it. I would add to the Emes Liyakov's idea from when we learned Kiddushin years ago, where the Torah states the importance of bia in the process of marriage via v'davak bi'ishto. If you look at, I brought you in the smock in Source Yadalid, he says there's a mitzvah lekadesh es ha'isha dechsiv ki kach ish isha v'gam libnei noach ksiv v'davak b'ishto. V'davak b'ishto, he holds, is the non-Jew's mitzvah of marriage. V'keva, mikan sha'adam mitzuva liyos lo isha miyuchedes lishmo v'afil libnei noach bo l'sinai nitosfu lehem kiddushin. We came to our Sinai and we got kiddushin in addition. But it sounds like v'davak b'ishto still is retained for us. It's just that we added kiddushin. That's what we gained in addition. And there's a piece, I didn't bring it on the sheet, but there's a piece in the Kuntrasei Shiurim in Kiddushin Aleph Vav that I went through when I gave the shiur on this in Kiddushin, which explained that the bia here that we're talking about under V'davak B'ishto is not Kinyan bia, it's V'davak B'ishto bia. It's not bia like we say, Hayish Mekadesh, right? Kesef Shtar Bia. It's not that kind of bia. It's bia v'davak b'ishto to create the bond and the relationship between them. That's what this is referring to. So this would also fit very well, by the way, and then I'll take your question. This would fit very well with what I said in the introductory Shir to Ksubos back in the beginning of Elulzman, where I suggested, a la Rabbi Rosenzweig, that the institution of Ksuba is meant to create a sense of commitment between them. And Kiddushin is about instilling Kiddusha. We want them to be closer to each other. And this Bia Rishona is a way to get there. It's a fundamental part of this process of leading to V'davak B'ishto, by having this act of bia, even if I don't say this extreme position that bia completes nisuin on a halachic level, which I think is a very hard position to sustain, meaning no one is really going to argue they're not married until they've had bia, right? And she's not an eishes ish until they've had bia. Like, I don't think anybody's actually going to make that statement. Nonetheless, it's clearly the completion of this process of building the bond between them. Yes, Rav Yehuda. That Rav Yehuda, not that Rav Yehuda.
It seems to be moving away from the actual translation of the word nisuin, which comes from the word to raise up.
Mm-hmm.
So this is sort of like moving away, like, seems to me to be kind of moving away from that central idea, which could include all of these things, really.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, it's that, it's actual being.
I don't mind that.
Huh?
I don't mind that. Rav Yehuda says we're moving away from the literal read of the word nisuin, to lift up or to take, by getting these other, or associating these other layers with it. But, okay. I hear you. So what's the relationship?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Nisuin is lusher, sino, is iciest sino.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
I hope not.
What?
I understand what you're saying, but I hope not.
Because unfortunately, especially these days, that happens.
Yes.
Very, very often.
So what's the relationship between this bia and the Shivas Yemei Amishta? We said that now he's Boel, and then he's Poresh, and they do the Kavura, and then they have the Shivas Yemei Amishta. And because you had Bia, certainly according to what we just said, now you have the Shivas Yemei Amishta. So what exactly is that about? So first of all, we saw Rashi already, but I brought it for you here in Source Tesvav. We saw it because the Shita Mekubetz has quoted it, where Rashi says, at this point, Chala Alav Chatuna, Havi Legabe Kiregel. Now it is like regel for him, such that Avelus is pushed off. Just like if, Rachmana Litzlan, there's a death during Yom Tov, Shiva is pushed off till afterwards. That's what's happening here as well. You also see that in the Gemara itself, because the Gemara itself on Daf Dalet, the bottom of Daf Dalet, I brought it for you in Source Tezayin, says, Hu yashen bein hanashim v'hi yashena bein hanashim. They sleep apart, and they bring that to support Rabbi Yochanan, who says regarding Yom Tov, afal pi sha'amru ein avelus b'moed dvarim shel tzina noeg. This proves that dvarim shel tzina, private avelus, will apply on regel, because it applies during mishta. So since it applies during Mishta, therefore it applies during Regel, you're making a link here and saying these Yimei HaMishta are like Regel days. And Tosfos supports it as well. Tosfos brings you, it's source Yedzayim, brings you the Gemara in Moed Katan, where we say, if you look at Tosfos, Misaila Rabbi Yochanan, Moed v'chasan mashva osen bekama megomos, or b'chol makom maybe, he says, or Kesef Mishnah, he says, Moed and chasan are equated, they are equated in many places. Ki'ahid Sanya, like the Bryce in Moed Katan, which says, chasan shenolad bonega, if you have a chasan who develops a mark of tzaras, nos nin lo, zayin yimei amishte, lo us taliso luxusa. We give him, and not just him, but also his clothing if it develops a mark of tzaras. We give him the week of the shivas yimei amishte before looking at him, and also on a regel, nos nin lo kol yamos haregel. We'll also give him the full regel before we'll look at the mark and identify him as a mitzora. So you see, Tosfos brings you another way in which we compare mishte and regel. What is the origin of this regel that we call Shivas Yemei HaMishta? Where in the world does this come from? Again, this is separate from Sheva Brachos. It turns out, since we have this cycle of three, I'm going to end up giving Shir, God willing, for Dav Zayin, and that's where I'll get to discuss the difference between regel and between Mishta and Brachos, right? I think that's the way the math works.
Yeah.
4, 5, 6, 7? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So the practice of Shivas Yemei HaMishta traces back to before Matan Torah. If you take a look at source Yud Ches, Rabbi Ila, Rabbi Lazer, B'Shem Rabbi Chananya said, Al Shem Shein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. The reason you don't have weddings on Chol HaMoed is on the Moed is because we don't want to mix the smachos. Rabbi La Shamalam and Hada. Rabbi La learned it from the following pasuk. Ki Chanukas haMizbeach Asu Shivas Yamin veAchag Shivas Yamin, when they dedicate the Beis Hamikdash, the first Beis Hamikdash, so there's no overlap. It's 7 days for this, and then 7 days for that. Rabbi Yaakov Baracha Shama Lamin Hada Malei Shivua Zos. From the fact that Lavan says to Yaakov, you want to marry Rachel? Okay, but first you have to complete the 7 days of Leah. That teaches me that they were doing, in the context of the Gemara, it teaches me Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha. We don't merge the two. We don't overlap. But it also teaches me that they're doing the 7 days Bichlal. Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer uses it as a source for this as well. Interestingly, the Alei Tamar, commenting on the Yerushalmi in the beginning of Ksuvos, quotes you the Radal on Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, who quotes you a Medrash in Tanna D'Veleil Rabba, which I used in a shir a while back, because the Chafetz Chaim makes great use of this Medrash. If you take a look at Source Yud Tes, it's talking about the Jews in Mitzrayim. And it says, V'hayu Yisrael osin mishta livneinu livnosein b'mitzrayim. When the Jews were slaves in Egypt, they would marry off their kids to each other, and they would have a mishta. And the Mitzrayim would say to them, why are you making a mishta? We're going to take you out to make you into slaves. What are you celebrating for? And they said, we're going to do our mishta, and then you do what you're going to do. But we do our mishta first. The Chafetz Chaim used this for the Cantonists, for the Jewish men who were being taken out to be drafted into the army, and they're going to be gone for 20 years, and they don't know when they're going to see their wives again. And they were saying, we don't think that we should produce children, because we're not going to be here to raise them. And he said, no, it's like in Mitzrayim, they went ahead and they had children, you go ahead and you have children, and worry about what's going to happen later, will happen later. Which I can imagine being very, very difficult advice to take, you know, at that point in time. That's a very, very hard thing. But that was a Chafetz Chaim statement. That was what he said. But going back to where this relates to our discussion, so the Alei Tamar says, you see that? They're doing a Mishta in Mitzrayim. They were observing this practice. He doesn't, 7 days isn't found in Eliyahu Rabbah. It just says Mishta. But that seems to have been the practice back then, and Ramban says it as well in Source Chaf. I brought you there. The Ramban brings also on Malei Shavua Zos that they used to have this practice. It doesn't become halacha based on that, obviously. Those are, nice practices. Where does it become halacha? So that's Yerushalmi in the beginning of Ksuvos and Source Chaf Aleph. Moshe Hiskin Shivas Yimei HaMishta V'Shivas Yimei HaEvel. Moshe does this. He creates the takana that they should do it, and the Rambam brings this as well in Hilchos Avel Aleph, which I brought you in Chav Beis, the end of the line there. Moshe Rabbeinu Tikkun Leihem Yisrael Zayin Yimei HaVelos V'Shivas Yimei HaMishta. Yes, AZ. Yes.
Well, same
with that question. Right. You should, right. to quote Chizkiyahu, or to quote Yeshaya to Chizkiyahu. But yes, we have other parallels to this idea that when it comes to producing children, you just have to go for it. And again, it's not always such easy advice for people, but that's a longer story. There is a machlokas as to what we mean when we say that Moshe was mitaking this. Does that make it a de'oraisa or is it a de'rabanan? Moshe makes a takana, it should be a de'oraisa. And in fact, that's the argument of the Shiarei HaKarban. The Shiarei HaKarban says, you bet. Daniel's looking at me like, what? But the Shiarei HaKarban, take a look in Source Chav Gimel. He uses it. Here, he says, Moshe is going to be Yisrael, Zayim Misha, Zayim Avelis, Mikan Mashma, Vimeha Simcha, Vimeha Avelis, De'oraisa. He says, Shiva's Vimeha Mishta is De'oraisa, and Shiva's De'oraisa. He says, both are De'oraisa. And he uses it to support the view that is found that, in fact, Shiva is a De'oraisa. And he also uses it regarding Mishta. There's a classic question that comes up in our sugya, which we're not going to have time to discuss, but at least we throw it in here, which is the question of, I understand why Zayin Yimei HaMishta override the rest of Avelus, because the rest of Avelus is a Derabanan, so I understand that. But how does it override day one in the event that they're able to do the burial on the same day as the Misa? We generally treat that day as De'oraisa. So how are they able to override it? So he says that's not a problem at all, because Shivas Yimei HaMishta is also De'oraisa. That's the Shiarei HaKarban's answer. But the bulk of views is, in fact, with Daniel, that it is considered to be a derabanan. The Rambam himself seems to think that it's a derabanan. That it's a derabanan. If you take a look, in Source Chav Hey, ignore Chav Dalet. I put it on there and I meant to delete it and then I didn't. But now it's on there for life. But Chav Hey says, Elu Dvar M'Shalal Aser Bahen B'Yom Rishon Min HaTorah U'B'Shar Yamem Midivrehem. The Rambam takes the view that it is a derabanan. The pasuk with Yaakov of Malei Shivuazos is a very nice pasuk, but again, it's Koda Matan Torah. It's before the Torah is given, it's used as an esmachta, and as far as Moshe, so the Alei Tamar points out the Kesef Mishnah on Hilchos Tefila Perek Yud Beis, that we say in the Yerushalmi that Moshe enacted Kriyas HaTorah, but nonetheless, we treat it as a derabanan. It's not like we treat that as a de'oraisa. The Alei Tamar also uses this, I see I'm running out of time, but the Alei Tamar uses this to answer a classic question regarding Ein Ma'ariv and Simcha B'Simcha. We saw the Yerushalmi say that you can't have weddings on the Moed from Yaakov, right? And the Mara Panim there asks that Rav Yaakov Bar Acha there is the one who says it. However, Rav Yaakov Bar Acha is also the one who says we don't learn halacha from Kodem Matan Torah. So how does he bring from Malei Shavuazos? It's a classic question. I gave shiur on this a couple of years ago. There's a tshuva in the Minchas Asher on this. He asks the question of whether a younger is able to get married before an older. You know, Lavan says, Lo yasekevim komenu. So is a younger sibling allowed to get married before an older sibling, assuming that they're both ready to get married? Not like making the younger ones wait to start dating until the older one has already found somebody. But if they're both ready to get married, who should go first? I had this with my older brother. We were both engaged at the same time. He got married before the 3 weeks. I got married after the 3 weeks. But that's the question that he's dealing with in his tshuva. And he says, we learn from Lavan. We learn from Lavan saying, well, yes, I came bimakomenu. Because he says, even if we can't learn halacha from before Matan Torah, nonetheless, you can learn logic from before Matan Torah. And it's logical to say, let the older one be the one to get married first. That's Rav Asher Weiss's answer. But the Alei Tamar says, the question falls away if we see that Moshe makes a takana derabanan of Shivas Yimei HaMishta based on what they were doing before Matan Torah. That tells me that the pasuk is available for limudim in general. That's his answer to the Mara Panim. If you didn't follow that, don't worry. It was a little bit of a diversion. It's not ikra for the shir. But the point is that you have a takana from Moshe Rabbeinu to have Shivas Yimei HaMishta, and the goal of the takana is to make her happy. That's why you have Shivas Yimei HaMishta. It's meant to make her happy. The Bach I brought you in Source Chav Zayin distinguishes between the 7 days of Mishta and the 7 days of Sheva Brachos. Look at the part that I bolded. He says, L'simcha v'yimei HaMishta l'takana dida nitkenu. He says, this was a takana made for her sake, like you see in the Gemara. Shtaktu chachamim al takanas benos Yisrael she'sameach ima, dot, dot, dot. it's their takana that's meant to make her happy. The grach, alashas, also brings this idea in the stencils. I brought it for you on the sheet, that this is about simcha, and specifically bedida, it's simcha for her. The Alei Tamar, on the Yerushalmi in the beginning of Ksubas as well, sorry, what's the... also makes this this point. If you see in Source Chavtes, look at the part that I bolded, it's in the second half. He says as well, he says the brachos that we make on Nisuin, like that Rambam about the history of Nisuin, the brachos we make on Nisuin end the resemblance to Kedesha and give it Kedusha. And Moshe's takana of the Shivas Yimei HaMishneh give this a character of Kedusha. If you were to say to him, he can get married on any day, say he get up the next day and he go off to work. If he gets up the next day and he goes up to work, it looks like a one-night thing with some Kedesha. The fact that he stays home with her for 7 days gives it Kedusha. That's separate from the idea of simcha. This is a separate point from the, I jumbled the two together. The first idea is simcha, the Alei Tamar introduces the idea of Kedusha. That's what he does. So that, he's not supposed to go to work. So that also you have physical kravos. They have certain things that they're supposed to be doing to each other, with each other, that are supposed to also build the relationship. It's a longer discussion, but if you want to see, if you didn't see during the Hachana at all, the Maram Lublin Nun Gimel talks about the idea that they're supposed to have kravos. They're supposed to have physical proximity to each other. The whole discussion about how that works exactly, but I'm running out of time. The point that I wanted to make is the causal relationship between bias mitzvah and regel. How is it that uboel is necessary in order to trigger it? If the mitzvah of be'ilas mitzvah is puruvu, is procreation, then I don't see a connection between that and the Shavas Yimei HaMishneh. They're really two different things altogether. There's bia for puruvu, and then there's 7 days in order to generate simcha for her, and that's all it is. And that's the position of the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi in Source Lamed, I'm not going to read it inside, says, when it says uboel, it's because that's what they do. It's not a prescription he has to engage in bia, it's just that's what happens after the wedding. That's the Chacham Tzvi. But if you say the mitzvah is ona, and ona is like Rav Moshe said, based on her longing for him and trying to make her happy, it fits well with the Mishneh. Now the Mishneh is an extension of that, of making her happy. It's helping her to engage in simcha. And if you'll say the mitzvah that's involved in Be'ilas Mitzvah is Gemar Nisuin, the completion of Nisuin, then this bia is necessary to complete the nisuin and thereby to create the regel, like you wanted to say, you know, before. My problem with it is, would we really say that if they didn't have bia, then there's no such thing as Shivas Yimei HaMishneh? Forget the case of Avelis, just generally. A couple got married. They didn't have bia the first night for whatever reason. Now they don't start Shivas Yimei HaMishneh? Of course they do. So that's a very hard argument, I think, to make as a matter of practical halacha. Maybe. There was an article in Tchumen Lamed Vav by somebody who wanted to argue that it's actually a good idea sometimes to delay Bia Rishona past the first night. It's a whole discussion which I'm not getting into at all.
Well, I would get in huge trouble for that.
Yeah? Okay. Then I'm definitely not talking about that. But the idea is, just to sum up, because it's 11:29, what we saw here, what I hope we got out of it, is the definition of Be'ilas Mitzvah is either Puruvu, you want the mitzvah is Puruvu, or Ona, or completing the Nisuin. Somehow it leads them to Regel afterwards. Either these are two separate things. Puruvu is separate from Regel, and they're really their own things. Regel is about being Mesameacher, and that's what that is, and it's separate from the Puruvu piece. Or they actually are. He has to be Boel in order to be able to do what he's supposed to do with Regel. Either because his Bo'el, the mitzvah of the Be'ila, is to, in fact, satisfy her emotionally. It's the Hishtokikut that she has. It's Ona. And that leads to then the 7 days of Mishneh, which are part of that Simcha. Or It's actually the completion of Nisuin, which then enables the 7 days of Regel. I spent a lot more time on the first part of that than the second, but I still hope that that was clear. And next week I want to come back to, at least at the start of Shir, the first 10 minutes or 45 minutes will remain to be seen, the question of the Bia of the Onain. And is an Onain Mutter in Bia in general? And is Uporesh actually a halachic statement or simply a description of what happens? All of that, God willing, will be part of Shir next Friday. Thank you. Yes, AZ, you want to say?
Yeah.